This morning, I would invite you to suspend your disbelief and imagine. And if it helps, close your eyes to imagine that you are hearing the testimony of Mary Magdalene. It was dark, the suffocating, heavy dark of a world that has ended. I didn't need the light to find my way. My feet knew the path to the grave. It felt like I had been walking it for 1,000 years. I carried the spices, but I didn't feel their weight. I didn't feel my hands. I didn't feel the cool morning air on my face. I was a walking void, a vessel of grief, moving through a gray landscape. I wasn't going to pray. There were no prayers left. I wasn't going to hope. There was no hope left. I was going to do the only thing left to do, to wash the blood off his skin, pack the wounds with myrrh, and say goodbye to the only man who had ever actually seen me and known me. I climbed the small rise and turned the corner, bracing myself for the sight of the stone, that massive, immovable seal of the empire. It was gone. The mouth of the cave gaped open, a black hole against the gray rock. I stopped. I didn't scream. I didn't drop the spices. I just stood there, the numbness turning into a cold, hard knot in my stomach. They couldn't even let him be dead. They had to take that too. I turned and ran, not to the tomb, but away from it. I ran until my lungs burned, until I was pounding on the door where they were hiding. "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb," I gasped, the words tearing out of my throat, "and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter and the other disciple took off running. I followed, but I couldn't keep up with them. It seemed like they were racing, a frantic, desperate competition to see the disaster first. When I got there, they were already inside. I stayed by the entrance. I watched them come out, holding the linen wrappings, their faces pale, their eyes wide and empty, their jaws slack with incomprehension. They saw the empty slab, they saw the cloth, they saw no body, and then they left. They just walked away. They went back to that locked room, back to their safety. Maybe the empty tomb was just a puzzle they couldn't solve. I hated them in that moment. I hated their ability to leave. I couldn't leave. Where would I go? The world was empty. I stood outside the tomb and wept. Ugly, gasping sobs of someone who has been hollowed out. Finally, I bent down to look in. I needed to see that emptiness for myself. Two figures in white sat where his head and feet should have been. Angels, I suppose. My mind registered their presence and the light, but my heart couldn't handle the impossibility of them being there. "Woman, why are you weeping?" The question felt absurd. Why was I weeping? The universe was broken. "They have taken away my Lord," I said. Voice sounded mechanical and dull. "And I do not know where they have laid him." I didn't wait for an answer. I turned away. I couldn't look at that light anymore. There was a man standing behind me. I didn't look at his face. I looked at his hands, expecting to see a gardener's tools. Maybe he was the one who moved him. Maybe it was just a job to him. "Woman, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" "Sir," I pleaded, staring at the dirt, "if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. I would carry him myself if I had to. I would drag his body back here to have just a shred of dignity and do it with my own hands. Just give him back to me." Mary, the world stopped. A sliver of color cut through my gray world. It was the way my name sounded when he said it. Somehow, he made it sound like a blessing as much as an identifier. I spun around and I looked up. It was him. Not a ghost, not a memory, him. "Rabboni," I said. The word tumbled out of me, a mix of laughter and terror. I lunged for him. I reached out to grab his waist, to hold him down, to anchor him to this earth so he could never, ever leave me again. "Do not hold on to me," he said. His voice was gentle but firm, and I froze. "I have not yet ascended to the Father." I pulled my hands back, trembling. He was here, but he was different. He wasn't just my teacher anymore. He was more. I couldn't keep him in the garden. I couldn't keep him as my Jesus. Somehow, I knew he belonged to everyone now. "Go to my brothers," he said. "Say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." He trusted me with the message. He trusted me. I turned and ran again, the same path, the same legs, but a different woman. My chest was heaving. My mind was reeling. Alive? How? Ascending? What does that mean? The fear was still there. How could it not be? But it was mixed with an untamed, ferocious joy. I burst into the room where they were hiding. They looked up, startled, afraid of the noise. I stood there, breathless, sweating, shaking, looking like a madwoman. "I have seen the Lord." I told them what he said. I watched the confusion wash over their faces. I saw the doubt in their eyes, and I didn't care. I knew the sound of my name, and I knew that that tomb was empty. And for the first time in 3 days, I took a breath. Jesus has risen. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Amen.